National media continues to exaggerate and promote misleading negative headlines designed to diminish the rule of law and those whose job it is to enforce it. Remember, the only people who want to defund the police and dismantle these agencies are the criminals. And don't forget to thank a cop. Now, let's start the show. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I want to remind you that El Tour de Tucson is happening today. Please watch out for all those bicyclists. They're all over the city. And I want to thank Pima Federal Credit Union, who are writing today to represent Law Matters. And if you haven't supported a charity yet, you can do it by going to lawmatters1030.org, our support page. And El Tour is listed there as one of the ways to support. So I want to thank Linda, Jim, Bruce, Michael, Christian, Shelby, and Eric, and whoever Anonymous is, for supporting us this morning. And in the studio, we have, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, Tucson Airport has their own police department, and we have Pete Dugan, James Allerton, Ray Smith, and Chief Bader here to tell us what's going on, what to do to prepare for the holiday travel. I know it's that time of year where everybody's going someplace. So thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks
it's
for
radio.
Having us.
You have to talk. Yeah. You can't nod your head.
Good morning.
I gave you a thumbs up. Did you not see it?
Okay. Let's talk about what do you want people to know? Yeah, I need that.
Oh.
What do you want people to know going into the holiday?
That sounds like better.
Somebody should jump in.
Ray.
Yeah.
The airport is a layout. I guess the layout of the airport, if you're coming, if you've never been there, it's almost alphabetical. So if you're flying out, it goes American, Alaska, Delta, Southwest, United. Anywhere you park or anywhere you're dropping someone off, there's only going to be like probably no more than a 2-minute walk from where they have to go. It's a pretty small airport, so whenever you're dropping someone off, you don't have to park right in front of American if they're flying American. Many times we see people kind of stacking at American or wherever they're going, thinking that, well, they can only go in that door. You can go in any door.
I didn't know it was alphabetical.
It's almost alphabetical. Alaska should go first, but
I think that was just a mistake. I think that was just coincidental that happened.
Oh, right? Okay. I thought it was something clever and planned.
It was clever.
Yeah, I was going to say, it may have been, but...
Okay.
There's some other things, too, just to piggyback on that. That's good to know when you're pulling up. But really, we're approaching, obviously, Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we're going to see an influx of travelers to the airport. So we've got the luxury of living in Tucson and having a small airport, right? So it's usually pretty easy if you frequently fly. It's easy to get in and out of the Tucson airport pretty quick. You know, they always recommend be there 2 hours in advance. And during the holidays, we definitely recommend that. You know, oftentimes you talk to people and say, I don't need to be there 2 hours. It's Tucson. I'm in and out of there quick. Right now, we are definitely saying make sure you give yourself enough time, not only at the airport, but getting there and finding parking if you're going to try to park. Normally, it's pretty easy, but the holiday season, this is the busiest travel time of the year, obviously, for all airports. So, yeah, give yourself some extra time. And more importantly, we can't tell you enough, and we're going to kind of try to help TSA out here with this one, is make sure you're looking at your bags and what's in your carry-on bags and your checked bag. But we are constantly seeing people that will still bring in because they're just used to it. They carry knives, or we live in a state where you can carry, you know, your rocket launchers and firearms,
backpack, right? You forgot.
Yeah. And unfortunately, people carry them around in their bags all the time, and they forget they're in there, and they're last minute traveling, and they walk in with their carry on bag, and they have a firearm in there, and the fines are extremely expensive now, upwards of $10,000. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on the exact amount, but it can get pricey. So just be sure, check your bags, make sure you're not having anything that's a prohibitive item at all.
So if somebody does walk in, they have a firearm, what do you do? Do you take the firearm away from them?
It depends. Yeah, it depends. Well, yeah, we're either going to let them go store it. It depends where we get this firearm. If they're already going through TSA, then we have to do a bunch of different things. If it looks like they're trying to get it on an aircraft, now we're looking at, is this a potential crime? Right. Or did they just forget? So we have to do an investigation at that point. If somebody brings it there and they forget it and we get it soon enough, we can tell them to go secure it. They can have somebody else come pick it up, things of that. It really is case by case.
Okay. So don't bring firearms. That's a bad idea.
Or other prohibited items.
Like our what?
Well, you've got
hairspray. I know that.
Well, yeah, you can. There's a list you can look at online. For every airline shows you a list. TSA's got a list of prohibited items that you cannot bring. But your normal things like, yeah, no knives, no firearms, no explosives, things. Those are the normal ones we should all know. But there are other items you can't bring when you start talking about liquids and things like that.
Lithium batteries also, they don't want those in your check baggage.
Does this have a lithium battery on it?
Yes,
a laptop?
Most electronics nowadays do.
So it's okay to bring it into the cabin,
into
but
the
not
cabin.
Store
Correct.
It underneath.
Correct.
Why?
If they ignite, it's easier to
put
them out when they're up top. if underneath, it, you don't.
That could be a little
it's
exciting.
It's a little too late, yeah.
So going back to the holidays a little bit, I think it's also important to, if
nice
you're going to.
T-shirt.
Thank you. Yeah, as an aside, I am wearing my Tactical Salmon t-shirt. It's for my buddy, Matt Salmon, that I worked for several years. He passed away just a few months ago. He's a canine officer with the Sheriff's Department. But
Christmas.
use the cell phone lot during the holidays. We have so many people that when you pick someone up, they'll pull right up in front and want to wait for 15, 20, 30 minutes. You can't do that. You need to use the cell phone lot. You can get ticketed by our department, so you can get a citation for that. And
are you the guy that says move it along?
Well, we all are, actually.
Oh, I thought you were nice guys.
We are. We say it very nicely.
We send other people to do it normally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
you can't just pull up and park.
No, even if you're going to stay with the vehicle, we don't want you staying there. During the holidays, a number of people may not know this, and they can get delayed because of the flight delays, the extra traffic, the extra people. So if you're picking someone up, use that cell phone lot rather than just sitting out front and causing more traffic delays.
And at the Tucson airport, it's easy to find because as you're pulling in, it's on your right. You just pull
Correct.
In there and
Correct.
Do they have a screen that tells you what flights are coming in or not coming in, or is it cell phone?
Not in the lot, we don't. But, you know, that's a great idea that maybe we should propose to our administration there is to have something display there.
So people will know, hey, it landed or, you know, it skipped us.
Yeah. And then just to kind of tie on that too, just a little bit down the street, there's also additional parking if that lot is full. So if you continue straight ahead past the cell phone lot and cross through kind of like a T section right there, which is Airport Drive and Plumber.
Right.
You go just on the other side of that, there's more parking over there that you can utilize as
well. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's like our cell phone overflow parking.
Overflow.
Until we get that said screen, FlightAware is pretty accurate as far
is
as...
Is that an app?
Yes.
FlightAware app.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to flytucson.com, and on the page when it opens up, it shows the flights that are coming in and what's delayed.
Oh, it shows everything. Check
that
out.
Yeah, so if you do wait at the cell phone lot.
Show it to the camera. We're filming today.
There you go.
This is the first time we've done
so
this.
So I just real quick typed in flytucson.com, and that's the page that came
and
up. It shows you what's delayed.
And his cell number is on there, too.
Right.
So, okay, if you're coming to the airport and you're parking for a long, like a week. You don't want to park in that parking spot that's right in front of the airport, right?
Correct. That's hourly.
And it'll be a lot of money if you're paying
hourly.
A lot
more money if you do that.
So where do you tell people to park? I mean, securely, where can they park?
Well, in the same parking facility, there is what we call our long-term parking. And then we also have parking in our garage. Which
you have
is
a garage?
Right, yeah, there's a parking garage there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where is that?
It's right next to the terminal. There's a three-story parking garage.
It's on the east side of the east side of the terminal. If you're coming around the loop, it's on the far east side.
Where the rental cars are.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, so you would go down Airport Drive to Los Reales, and you kind of make a make a series of right-hand turns, and then it'll get you to the entrance to the garage. There's a gate arm. You can take your ticket, go in, and park on the second level.
Wow. Learning all kinds of stuff.
Signage directing you.
Don't read the signs.
And for those who haven't... Go ahead.
And you can see it, because it's a three-story parking garage, so you'll be able to see that.
I haven't not seen it. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's okay.
Okay. What the heck? Tell me, what kind of calls do you guys answer? Respond to? What's the best call?
The best call.
That's
best?
A loaded question. That let's go
most,
back. Let's
frequently.
Go back to what kind of calls.
Okay. The most frequently called in, I need somebody here. What is it?
We get a number of different calls. We get the same calls that every other agency gets, city, county, all the other agencies that are here in Tucson. We get the same types of calls. We see a little bit more of like trespassing calls. We get people that like to show up at the airport and they don't have any business traveling, and they'll stick around because it's air conditioning, things like that. But and we try to tell them what it's for. You know, like, this is really for travel, not just to hang out. Right. But we see everything else too. We've had domestic violence calls. We get irate passenger calls. We get, we've had fights. Luckily, we don't get a lot of calls. And I think, and maybe we'll get to this later, we're kind of lucky because we're a unique police department. We have this airport, the Tucson International Airport, has its own police department and its own fire department, which is a rarity. So, it's kind of nice because we have that. We've got officers there all the time. Other airports rely on city or county police departments to come and take calls there, right? We are there all the time. We're there 24/7. So we know the map, we know the layout of the airport, and we can respond to just about any call within usually less than a minute because we're right there.
So you have your own fire department. I didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys do drills together? Do you practice together?
Absolutely.
How frequently do you do that? Like every day, once a week?
It depends what we're training on. We just had the fire department come give us some extra first aid type training, so we will do things like that. We just had a triennial drill.
What is that?
That's where we, Chief, you could probably explain this. You've been around for several of them.
Yeah, so that's
he's a lot older.
Just a lot older than me.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah, so every year as part of a requirement to be in compliance with the FAA and what we call Part 139, every 3 years we have to do a full exercise, and that is to basically show the FAA that we are competent in our emergency response to given situations. So every year or every 3 years, we sit down, we formulate a plan on what the exercise is going to be. Several stakeholders are involved with this. And then when it comes time for this to happen, we get everybody involved. And then based on the scenario, I think the last one, we put a pretty big emphasis on passenger reunification. And so there was a lot of coordination with the airline that was involved in the exercise, and it gets them an opportunity to test some of their capabilities that they have.
So technically, you're saying you have to have a plan to evacuate the building in case of emergency.
That, or how do we respond if we have a plane crash out on the airfield? And depending on what type of crash it is.
And located.
You know, right. You know, do we have a landing gear collapse? Do we have, I'm trying to think of...
Flat tires.
Not necessarily the flat tire issue, but, you know, we're going to... How do we evacuate the passengers off the plane? What resources do we have? And then also we use that as an opportunity to identify any gaps that we may have and then put together a really thorough after-action plan, and then see what we need to do to fill those gaps.
So what was the name of that jet that landed at your airport? This might be before you were there, I don't know. It had a flat tire and they had to wait several days for the tire to be fixed. It's the one that went from here to France, or from here to England, in like a few hours.
Oh, that was the Concorde?
The Concorde.
No. Yeah, that was pre my time.
Pre-Bader.
Yeah.
Okay. That was pretty cool, though. I took a bus carload of kids, little boys who wanted to see it, to the airport so they could see this plane with the flat tire.
Well, you know, I'll say that's one of the great benefits working out there is that if you really are an aviation enthusiast, getting to see the variety of aircraft that come in there, and sometimes there really are like once in a lifetime opportunities that you get to see some of these. You know, we've had the Antonov out there a couple of times, which is like one of the world's largest planes.
I didn't know that. You didn't tell me.
Sorry.
I would love to see that next time.
Next time, yeah.
Yeah, and, let me know.
You know, for a long time we had the probably one of the last L-1011s that was able to fly, which was the Flying Hospital. And that had been out there for, you know, decades. And then several years ago, a company actually bought that plane and brought it back to the Midwest to go to a museum. So it was really unique to see that aircraft actually get airborne.
They didn't truck it over there.
No. It took them quite a long time to get that airworthy and to get it actually airborne.
Yeah, there's no test flights on some of these things.
Right.
Yeah. Scary. So, okay, that's awesome. But next time, let me know. I love looking at these airplanes.
Will do.
Yeah. So, other than that kind of a training, what do you do all day? Tell me what a typical day is like for you. James, you're the detective.
I'm the detective now.
One of.
Yes, we just brought on a new detective who's not here in the studio with us today, but he just started, 2 weeks ago? So training him up right now. And as a detective, we do, we're kind of playing the cleanup for the officers. The officers are really the front line of our safety, security, and law enforcement. And we as detectives take care of processing the cases. What we'll do, of course, the investigation. Sometimes we'll have to do follow-up interviews, even so far as making arrests on cases and looking into some of the crime that occurs there. And then we handle some of the administrative details as well. One of the benefits that we have as being investigators at the airport is we have a fairly robust system of cameras that we can often see things that happen. It helps us out a lot, both as officers and as detectives. As officers, real time, our dispatch can look in a lot of the areas where we work and tell the officers that, hey, we got a call about this. What I see is this. I've discovered in my career in law enforcement that the information that dispatchers get is not always the same as what's actually happening.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know this is new for most folks. But it's actually very cool when the dispatchers can say that, hey, we got a call about this on this terminal. I'm looking and I see a guy in a red hat. So, you know, he's to your left, that sort of thing. Also helps with investigations. We can look later and say that, oh, yeah, that was the man with the red hat. So
your cameras are in color?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
It's a big difference.
Black and white.
No,
yeah.
And it's a big difference. The three of us, Ray, James and I, both we all came from different agencies. And
so where are you from?
So I worked for the Tucson Police Department. I retired from there. Ray also came from the Tucson Police Department. And James came from the sheriff's department. But, you know, we didn't have cameras. So now when we're responding to calls, and there's pretty much nowhere in that airport that's not on camera. I mean, cameras are everywhere.
I remember that.
Yeah, you need to remember that. So we've watched you several times.
Do we need to give you the specific places where the cameras
don't cover?
Would that be helpful?
But it's a different kind of law enforcement when you work at the airport, because when they do dispatch you to a call, they're telling you, yeah, you're walking right towards this person or this group, or make a right here, go down that hall. We can see them right there. They can tell us real time what they're doing, what's happening, if they're setting something down. So it's a totally different kind of law enforcement. It's kind of a neat thing and a little bit safer too, because we know what we're walking into real time.
Yeah, that I've been reminding people that if you have security cameras on your home, mm-hmm. register them with the police department so they know that you might have the evidence they need to close a case.
Sure.
They
sure.
are very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Very helpful. So how long were, Ray, how long were you with TPD?
I was with TPD for 14 years.
And how long were you?
I was with TPD about 21 years and then retired, and Chief Bader lured me over to the to the airport.
See? And how long have you been in law enforcement, Chief Bader?
Just over 17 years, and so the Tucson Airport Authority is first and only law enforcement job I had. They hired me as a recruit, and I went through the academy, and then
survived just kind of
gradually worked my way through the ranks.
And James, how long have you been in law enforcement?
I did, and Captain Dugan as well. We both spent some time as law enforcement in the military, but 17 years with the Pima County Sheriff's Department, and now I am a veteran of 1 year at the Tucson Airport Authority Police Department.
1 year? It's only been a year?
A year and about 2 months now. So, yeah, not
why
very long.
Why does it seem so long? Because I remember
that's
when
why
I went
I say
over
every day.
Yeah, yeah.
I say it every day when he comes in.
Just wow.
Like,
gosh, what
yeah,
are you,
no,
10
really,
years
I'm
now?
Having
James?
Fun.
No? Jeez. Seems like
it's great. So when you're talking about crimes, are you talking theft, arson, murder? What are you talking about at the airport?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
All of the above.
You know, I would like to say that, well, first of all, airline travel is still one of the safest ways to travel. I think we should mention that.
This is good. Your disclaimer.
Yeah, yeah.
Putting it out there.
But it is a relatively safe environment at the Tucson Airport. We have law enforcement officers are very close if anything happens.
Are they in uniform?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Our patrol officers are in uniform. And you mentioned the fire department earlier. It really is kind of nice to have a fire department on location, because when something happens, and not to denigrate any other fire department, they respond as quick as they can and very timely, and sometimes they help us. But at the airport, we have a fire department right there, and if we have some sort of medical emergency, we can call them, and oftentimes they can get there nearly as quick as we do.
I was going to ask, are all of you like trained in first aid, and to what degree?
Yeah, different degrees, obviously, but yeah, we all get basic first aid. We've got all kinds of things at our fingertips that we can use to help out, but like James said, we have the fire department right there. So we will be we're usually there just before they are, but they're right behind us. So we're doing initial first aid,
whatever,
CPR if we need to, until fire can get there and take over. But yeah, we've got lots of things we can do. We train with them, like I mentioned earlier, but they're pretty quick. That's the benefit of having your own law enforcement agency and fire department within the airport. It's like its own little city there.
It
really is, and it's nice. We get to know all the workers that are there. We have time, unlike a lot of, you know, we talked about where we came from. I came from Tucson Police, and when I first came on in the late 90s, we were able to do more community policing. I was out there talking with people in the neighborhoods and finding out what they're seeing and what the issues are, and it just got tough. It got busier and busier. Now I'm over at the airport, and I'm back doing the community service. We are walking around the airport talking to people, finding out where they're traveling to, where they came from, helping them where they need to go. It's a fun place to work, and I really enjoy being there now.
I want to know, I think it was last week we were talking about the no-fly list. When somebody is on the no-fly list, who gets the call? Who gets it first?
That is all typically handled through TSA and through other federal partners, and then we'll usually get a notification from them as kind of like a more like a FYI or a situational awareness. You know, hey, this individual's coming through.
And well, if they're on the no-fly list, they shouldn't be coming through.
Well, shouldn't be, you would think, but they still come in and try to fly.
Lots of times they don't know they're on a no-fly list either, so they get there.
Correct.
Then they
can't
fly, so we will assist. We'll get the call because, again, we're going to get there first, and then we will talk with our federal partners or whoever else is involved and why they're on that no-fly list. But we're usually the first ones. If we have to stop and talk to somebody, usually we're telling them, we don't know why, but you're on this list. And then we contact Whatever agency is involved with that or why they're on a no-fly list, we will contact them and say, we have this person here, and they will tell us if they need to talk to them or they just can't fly.
So last week we had the U.S. attorney on, and his four-year-old son was listed on the new do not fly list.
What did he do?
Terrible. Right. he said it would help if they would like add maybe birth dates or, you know, something to be more specific about, because there's not just one name and a lot of people have the same name. So I was just wondering about that, because it just seems so weird that somebody could go and buy a ticket if they're on the do not fly list. There should be some kind of an alert when you're buying your ticket on your computer, right?
Like a flag.
Or you would think something. Okay.
There's some other reasons to that we probably won't get into today about why they can still do that, but they won't be able to fly.
You're not getting off the hook.
I just
just opened up a can of worms.
I'll be off the hook right now. I'll talk to you guys.
Let me just say that the no fly list is maintained by our federal partners.
There you go.
And and we support them, and we have a one of the things we were going to talk about was our relationship with our federal partners, and very happy to be working along with them, but we are not the TSA, so that's something that's probably good to emphasize.
And TSA is federal.
TSA is federal, yes. Mm-hmm. We're not the TSA. We're not.
Does TSA have the ability to arrest people?
No, they do not have any arrest powers.
They'll escort you back to the ticket counter to check your bag if you have something in it they don't want you to have.
They don't even really escort. You know, if there's a prohibited item in there, then they'll call us, and then we usually help them resolve the issue. And then if it's something that needs to go into a check bag, then you know we typically let them
do their thing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. We really, really strive on trying to provide a high level of customer service and ensure that people, their travels are not impeded. You know, we try to get things resolved very swiftly so they can continue on. The last thing we want to do is really cause any complication for somebody that's traveling. Traveling is stressful enough, and we don't need to compound that.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. LawMatters1030.org is a nonprofit that needs your support in El Tour de Tucson, either by riding a bike or walking in the 5K. To support us while we support law enforcement, please go to LawMatters1030.org support page to sign up. We'll see you there.
Law Matters wants you to know all phone and email scams follow the same basic pattern. A potential victim is contacted, they are given a compelling reason to act, and then they are told to pay money. In every scheme, there is an urgency factor. These scammers are professionals. They are using scripts that work. It is okay to hang up or tell a lie if you have to. Better yet, don't answer the phone if you don't recognize the number. If in doubt, reach out to a friend or a family member.
Law Matters and Pima Federal Credit Union are hosting a free educational event on the topics of internet scams and how AI can impact your future. Join us at 10 a.m. on Saturday, December 2nd at Pima Federal Credit Union, located at 6850 North Oracle Road in Tucson. For more information and to sign up, visit lawmatters1030.org.
911, what are you reporting?
I'd like to report a break-in into my car. I came out this morning and my laptop bag is gone and some of my books are gone.
Are any of the windows broken or anything like that?
Nothing's broken.
Did you leave your vehicle unlocked or did you lock it before you went inside?
I thought I locked it, but I don't think I did.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get an officer out to you as soon as I can.
This doesn't have to be you. Remember to lock it or lose it. This has been a message from the Marana Police Department.
LawMatters1030.org is a nonprofit that needs your support in El Tour de Tucson, either by riding a bike or walking in the 5K. To support us while we support law enforcement, please go to LawMatters1030.org support page to sign up. We'll see you there. Thanks for staying with us. Our guest today is Tucson Airport Police Department. We have Pete Dugan, James Allerton, Ray Smith, and Chief Bader. And we're all sitting here talking about what you should and should not do. And Ray, you brought up a really good point about the elderly and traveling in the airport. Let's tell the listeners what you're saying.
Yes, yeah, so I was saying that if you're unsteady or unsure on your feet, we have the elderly population. We have two moving walkways, and if you get on the moving walkway, it you have to be pretty sure of your stability when getting on one of those, because it you have to have like a forward momentum to match the speed that the walkway is going. It's not very fast.
Can you adjust it? I mean, like, we can't. Slow.
There's no super fast.
I tried. Okay.
But when you get on, make sure that your luggage, that if you have roller bags, make sure they're behind you, because they become tripping hazards if once you try to get off. There's like a small lip, and the small wheels of those luggage, they will catch the lip and you'll fall forward. So that's one thing that I would like.
And that's
going to
hurt.
It hurts.
It's going to hurt. Okay, let's talk about Christmas time. People like to shop, wrap up their bags or presents, and go to the airport, and they're going to say, unwrap it. They want to know what's in it. So what do you tell people when they're coming in and they've got a bag full of gifts?
We're not allowed to accept gratuities as members of the Tucson Airport Authority Police Department.
That was the wrong kind of gift. Not those gifts.
Well, okay. I know people like to gift alcohol. They're not allowed to bring that through the airport either, whether it's wrapped or unwrapped. Correct?
Well, it's definitely not going to be in your carry-on. Now you can put it in your check bag. No bringing in like Everclear or something like that,
because you know moonshine.
It's yeah, exactly. You know, it's got to be below a certain proof level.
And you want to put Fragile on your bag. You don't want that breaking, right?
Probably
haven't put Fragile on your bag.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of times where people have been on vacation and they've brought wine back and it comes out and it's out. It's all over the bag belt. Yeah.
So a serious related matter, I was going to say, don't just, if you bring it in and forgot that you did, don't just stop there and drink it all right away. In all seriousness, though,
true story.
If someone is judged to be too intoxicated by the airline, they will deny you boarding. So that's something to keep in mind, too. If you stop at the bar to get a couple drinks to relax before your flight, the airlines can deny you boarding if they determine that you're too intoxicated to travel.
And that goes for passengers and pilots.
Oof. Yes, pilots especially.
Yeah. And other staff that help the airlines. Yeah, you don't want to be drunk in traveling. It's not cool. So, James, are you working the holiday? Can I have people ask for you when they get to the airport?
Absolutely.
I will be out of town for the Thanksgiving holiday, so if you have a mask for me, it'll probably make their travels more difficult.
For autographs or anything like that?
Yeah, we do have a policy about that as well.
Only because James charges for his.
Yeah, they had to walk that back. No, I'm generally around during the week. So I personally really enjoy seeing people that we know or have connected before at the airport, and I've seen a number. One of the things I say about the airport is that I think we have an outsized impact on our community. We see a large majority of our community come through the airport. So we, as the Tucson Airport Authority Police Department and the Tucson Airport Authority, we have a big impact on Tucson, even though we're still a relatively small, well, we are a small department, but we impact a lot of the people in our community. So I'm always happy and excited to see folks that are coming through that I know and to meet people that I may not have known before.
The Gem Show. That's right after the holidays. I mean, this is a really busy time for the airport. The Gem Show, what kind of impact does the Gem Show have on your job? Do you have people losing their luggage, losing their gems? You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
All the above. Again.
So you call the detective to go look for the gems?
We do.
Okay. Did you ever find them, James?
No. So interesting.
But your wife is happy with all her new jewelry.
Not that either. So interesting. Again, we do have that camera system, and we have actually used it for investigations into lost luggage before. So that's an advantage that we have. But we can't always find everything, and everyone should take all the precautions that they can and that they think of. But that can help. We would prefer to prevent things like that from happening rather than having to investigate it later.
Do you recommend people put those little tags in their luggage that tells them where their luggage is?
Absolutely. That's a great tool for our detective team, the air tags, and there's some other ones that have that same thing. But yeah, we actually have had a recent one. We don't get a lot of, again, small airport, a lot of police walking around, a lot of uniforms. Usually if you walk through the airport, you're going to see either a police officer or one of our public service officers. But have we had it? Yes, we've had it where people have had their bags picked up. Sometimes mistakenly, unfortunately, there's a lot of black bags out there that look the same. Yeah. People have picked them up and walked out and got to their car and went, oh my gosh, this isn't my bag, and they've brought them back. We've also had people people that have actually taken a bag, and we had one fairly recently that we were able to track and find out who did that and arrest the person.
Where did you find the bag? Was it in Tucson?
It was still in Tucson, yes.
Somebody's house?
Locally. Yeah, exactly. And we were able to track them down and make an arrest.
Did you go knock on the door?
We did. We served a search warrant even. Whew. But we don't. It's not a frequent occurrence at the Tucson airport. It just really isn't. And I think it's because we've got that presence there. We've got officers walking around. We've got our canine unit walking around. We've got three dogs that work at the airport. We've got our public service officers walking around. So like James said, we're trying to deter that crime before it even happens. And we're lucky enough, again, because we're that small airport.
So you've got dogs. Let's talk about the dogs.
Sure.
You have a new puppy.
Yes, we'll be getting a new one. So Corporal Thompson, his former partner, came time for him to retire. That was Canine Black. So
the dog retired, but the handler didn't.
Correct.
Did he take his puppy home?
No. Another officer with another agency was grateful enough to provide a home for Black. Corporal Thompson just didn't. Really, he has other animals and pets at home, and you know, it just really
wouldn't work out.
And he'll be getting a new one, too.
Yeah, so he'll be getting a new one. So we're hopefully
the Thompson Zoo.
Yeah, exactly. And then we have canine Ficco, and then also canine Yeva. And so Ficco's a German short hair pointer, and Yeva is a German shepherd.
So are they all the same type of dogs? Are they all bomb dogs? Are they, comfort dogs?
So they are all single purpose is what they're called, and they are for explosive ordnance detection. And so our dogs, we get through a program with TSA. And so when a handler becomes a handler, they will go to Lackland Air Force Base for approximately 16 weeks. And while they are there, they will get matched up with a canine. And then they will begin the training process. And it goes through obedience training. They will go through and be put into a variety of scenarios and situations to get that team to work cohesively together. And then once they've graduated, they'll come back to the airport. They go through acclimation period. And make sure that canine is comfortable because, there's a lot of activity that's going on in the airport, a lot of noises, and these dogs.
They have to be cool with that.
Right, sure. Yeah. So yeah. Even though they're at the Air Force Base in Lackland, there's still a lot of unknown sounds that they may not have been introduced to while they were there. So we want to get them acclimated. And then once that happens, they will get scheduled for what we call a training mission. And they will start to coordinate with our local TSA canine trainer. And then they will go through and then go through a certification. And then they become a certified team.
Who's your local TSA trainer?
So that's an individual. He's based out of Phoenix.
Okay. All right. So do you want to be a canine handler, Ray? Is that something that appeals to you?
Me personally? No, yeah. I like my dog at home.
You like your dog at home?
Yeah.
What kind of dog do you have?
I have a boxer. It's a boxer mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are the qualifications to be a canine handler for your department?
We look for them to have at least 2 to 3 years law enforcement experience. We look at how things are at home to make sure that a canine at their residence will be a good fit.
And yeah, they have to get along if they have other pets, too.
Right, right. So we have to take that into consideration. We do have a process that we go through, a selection process. So we'll have a panel interview that will usually involve current handlers on our team. And we also may reach out to handlers at other agencies to come in and sit on that interview.
And what kind of questions do you ask?
You know, it's been a while since we've had a new handler, so I really don't recall some of the questions, but I think most of them are going to be tailored around the, you know, hey, do you have other pets at home? Do they get along with other dogs? Are you able to have a kennel built at your home? Because we do provide them with kennels for their working dog to live in.
They have to stay outside?
They don't have to. It's up to the individual handler if they want
so
to have.
That's accusatory.
Yeah, I know.
That's rough.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Got the spotlight on them.
Yeah.
No, we want them inside.
It's up to the handler if the handler chooses to let them live inside the residence and then crate them at night or not crate them. It just really depends on the environment that they have at home for their canine partner.
It's like the dogs I've seen, most of them with TPD, they're like puppies. They're family pets until they see their handler put that uniform on. Then they're like all business.
Our dogs are the same way. Yeah. They can recognize when the handler is on and off duty.
Yeah, it's a nice environment for the family.
I think we should mention with our canines as well that they're really an incredible asset regionally. They do a lot of work with the Regional Explosives Ordnance Disposal. I think I got that right, team, the bomb squad.
The bomb squad.
Yeah, they do a lot of work with some of our regional partners, and we're happy to provide that. We're glad that we can help out in a lot of those things that they do, as well as helping protect the airport and protect our travelers.
Did you guys compete at the canine trials a couple of weeks ago?
This year we didn't, but we did last year.
Because I remember seeing you there last year.
Yes. Matter of fact, yes.
Yeah, they did really well. It was a good job for all of them. I was really impressed. The one thing that impressed me most is when they put the dogs in the back of the squad car and the handler is out there pretending to arm wrestle with a bad guy, and the dog comes out, opens the door and comes out of the car and attacks the bad guy. I was like, yes, that so, is so cool.
So I will mention on that. Yeah. So with our dogs, they are handler protective, but they are not deployed as what we would call a bite dog or a patrol dog.
What's the difference between a bite dog and a patrol dog?
Well, it's the same thing. It just depends on...
It's a nicer way of saying
exactly.
it.
Not exactly.
Not as intimidating.
Right.
No, most of those dogs, I mean, they might be trained to do that, but they're puppies. They, you know, they want to be petted, and they're friendly until their owner or their handler says not to be.
Right, right. So kind of like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse, you know, I'll let you know when it's time to be nice or time to not be nice.
I've never seen that movie.
Okay.
Oh, that's a must watch.
Okay. We've got to go.
If you've never seen that.
That's one of our training requirements that we have, that you have to watch it. Yeah.
Okay. I think you guys are nuts. But anyway.
You are accurate.
Yeah.
So what else do we want to remind people to do or not do for the holiday?
I actually have a list from TSA.
Okay. Yes.
Check the TSA website before you travel. Stay updated on the latest regulations and guidelines.
Because they change.
They do change. A lot of things get added. So just so you're in the know, the most current information. Arrive at the airport with plenty of time. I think we went over that. Pack your carry-on bag strategically. Remember the...
What does that mean?
There's a 3-1-1 rule for liquids and gels. They must be in containers of 3.4 ounces. That's 100 milliliters or less. Placed in a clear quart-sized bag and one bag.
So all your liquids have to be in one bag.
And if it's clear,
So there goes that bottle of wine.
It. Yeah, that's kind of out the window.
Unless it's one of the small...
Little travel size ones,
right?
Shooters.
Yeah.
Shooters. We say shoot because you don't want to say shoot.
Oh, okay. You yeah, you don't want, you don't want to say hi, Jack.
Correct.
Yeah.
Don't say hi. Don't say hello to Jack. Nothing like that. Stay attentive and follow the instructions of TSA officers during the screening process. If you have any questions or concerns, don't hesitate to ask. And also, finally, stay calm and be patient. The TSA's primary goal is to ensure the safety of all travelers.
Be patient.
Be patient.
I have another travel tip.
Uh-oh.
So,
brace yourself.
we do have the cameras, and we do more patrolling in our parking lots than you would get maybe in other parking lots. However, the last thing we want to see is someone opening your car door on that camera and taking something out. So please, even in our parking lots, lock your doors when you're traveling.
Lock your doors and don't leave valuables in plain sight.
Yeah,
if you do have something, put it in the trunk. If you see, it becomes a crime of opportunity sometimes because they see something in a car that looks expensive, or it's Christmas time, there's a gift in there wrapped. So yeah, lock your car and make sure you don't have any valuables in plain sight.
Yeah, hide everything. And if it's a gift, give it to me before you leave.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, so one of the other things you want to do with your carry-on bag is really take into consideration any valuables that you may have and put those in your carry-on, any medications, and then most importantly, make sure that you have your car keys in your carry-on.
What do people do to remember where they park their car after they come back from their vacation?
Take a photo.
Customer service is big with us, so we'll walk them around the lot.
You'll walk them.
We actually, we're laughing. We've actually done that multiple times. People come and they say, I can't remember where I parked. Okay, what kind of car do you have? We will go out and assist with that. But yeah, like.
Do you walk them or do you drive them?
Well, small airport. We'll walk them over
there.
We'll walk
them.
Yeah. But like Ray said, you could take a picture of where you're parked at. And that's, I mean, I've done it in bigger airports. I'll snap a quick picture and where I'm at so I know what section.
Lot C or
right,
whatever
exactly.
It is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you have a key fob, you can also, you know where you park, what general area, you can hit the horn button, the panic button, and the horn will go off and you'll know exactly where your car is.
Oh, cool. Okay. I hadn't thought of that. That's a good idea.
Got to think outside the trunk.
I know.
Yes.
That was very good. He was recently promoted to sergeant because of his ability to think on his feet.
His witty comebacks.
Okay. Do you do tours of the airport?
Yeah. We absolutely can do tours at the airport.
And
I think you attended a tour at the airport, did you not?
I didn't want to say I did if you didn't do it for other people, but yes, we toured the airport. It was really awesome. I got to see all the things that normal people don't get to see. So how do they, if somebody wants to tour the airport, who do they contact? You? Can I give them your cell number?
Probably not the best route. I'll start getting calls in the middle of the night wanting a tour at like 2 a.m. and probably not the best time to do that. But
so who do they contact?
That can be gone through our administrative offices, or you could reach out to James 24/7.
Everyone has my cell number.
24/7.
I think everyone has my cell number. I was going to give it out on the program, but I think everyone already has it, so there's no need to.
There's
no. Email the police department or get in contact with any one of us. I don't know what's the best contact to go through. And you have to tell us, though, Sherry, what you enjoyed the best about the tour that you got, because we helped arrange that. So we want to hear about that as well.
I liked going downstairs where you guys were all working in your office. I was like, where do they hide these people? They're downstairs. And I guess it was downstairs behind everything.
We're going to be moving out of that area soon, though.
Where are you going?
We've got a new police department that's kind of being built right now, it's not a new building. We're taking over an older building. It's going to be refurbished for the new police department.
Which building?
It's going to be further west from the terminal down the ramp there. There's we can show you again. You can come out and we'll show you where it's at. It'll be fully marked and everyone will see the new police department there.
Do Do you ever take people up into the tower where they tell the airplanes where to go?
We have, but that typically is something that we have to coordinate with the FAA because they're the ones that's really there.
That's their turf.
That's their office space.
Yeah.
Okay. So why would you want to move off? Because you're right there in the airport. Why would you want to move away from the airport?
It's bigger, so it's larger. We can all be in one space. Right now, we've got our administrative office, which is in another part
of
the airport.
It's in a different building.
Yeah, it's actually away from the terminal. Then we've got our officers that are down kind of underneath, hidden in a spot. Then we've got our canines that are in a different spot, detectives in a different spot. So we're going to be able to have everybody in one area so we can talk to each other a whole lot easier. It'll be bigger. Just we can have everything there, our evidence collection. Everything can be in one building, so it's going to be a lot nicer, a lot easier for us to get things done.
So are you going closer to the VIP hangar thing area?
No, we're still going to be adjacent to the terminal.
Okay.
It's like we're the sea gates. That's a good description. So as you're coming into the terminal and you start to make the left-hand turn go to either arrivals or departures, it'll be right in that
it's the west side of the terminal.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, visually I'm trying to look at it from above.
Sure.
Where's the west?
From above, we're the west side of the terminal.
Okay.
Now. Once it's done, that should be done late next year.
If everything goes right, we're hopefully looking maybe summer next year.
Okay.
So what's going to happen with the space you're vacating?
That will go back out to the airlines for possibilities for lease. Our administration is really aggressive right now on getting more air service to the Tucson area. And also with that, we have a huge project going on right now where we're building a second commercial runway. So that is another stepping stone for us to attract more commercial air service here to Tucson.
Do you have any particular airline in mind?
I'm not really involved with that. That's all done through our air service development department, our marketing department, and then our executive leadership.
So tell me about Ryan Field. That's part of your turf. What happens over there? I always thought it was just private aircraft.
So there's no commercial flights that go in out of Ryan. So initially Ryan was a military
airstrip,
I guess is the way, or airfield. And then just over time it was acquired by the Tucson Airport Authority. And so we like to say that as a general aviation reliever airport for folks that have their private planes.
Have you ever had a plane that was supposed to land at Tucson Airport have to land over at Ryan?
No, not commercial. I'm sure
their fields aren't that big, are they? Their strips aren't that big.
Well, Ryan Field won't accommodate any commercial aircraft. It's primarily for the smaller airframes.
Yeah. Okay. Just wondered.
So I think that's an interesting thought on that, too. We do have Ryan Airfield as our jurisdiction. We do take calls out there. We do patrol out there. Not only that, we have a substantial number of other properties that you don't traditionally think of as part of the airport that we patrol, some of the ancillary properties to the airport. So we do have a fairly large space that our officers are responsible for providing law enforcement for.
Do you get calls at Ryan Field? What kind of calls would you get there?
All the same calls that we would see at Tucson International.
Arson, theft, and murder?
Well, I mean, we don't need to go to the doom and gloom there.
Oh, okay.
No, you know, and it's not as busy over there. We patrol over there. We occasionally get calls, and we expect if somebody sees something that looks suspicious, we want the call. We'll send an officer over there to look. If somebody feels like something happened to their aircraft, it was damaged, we go just for any other calls we would, but you don't see the amount of traffic over there like we do at the airport.
Okay.
Honestly, the folks that are out there, it's a very tight-knit community.
Yeah. Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah. They are all it's almost like a gated community there. Everybody knows everybody.
So if something is going on, they'll know about it right away.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's pretty much how it was at Clough Airport. Everybody knew everybody and what they were doing, where they right. parked. So I want to remind everybody, it's El Tour de Tucson today. Please, please, please be careful of the bicyclists out there. And if you can, put off your errands, anything you have to do until this afternoon. I want to thank Pima Federal Credit Union for representing Law Matters in the race. That's awesome. We're going to do it again next year. Well, I'm not riding a bike, obviously, so maybe they'll do it again next year. And I want to thank you guys for coming on. Everybody have a nice Thanksgiving, nice Christmas.
Just a real quick last minute blurb here is that we're actively recruiting laterals and recruit officers.
They're looking for help. So Tucson Airport needs help.
FlyTucson.com.
FlyTucson.com. Thank you, and shop local. Stay safe.